of you, can you hear me well? I'm in a different spot. Okay. Those of you who are with us and with me in the past, we did Navi, we did Shoftim, and then we did Yoshua. Today we're taking on a very different Limud. I want to discuss over the course of the year to discuss different aspects of Simcha. To understand what simcha is, what is happiness. It's one of those things that I think in America we are all for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So what exactly does it mean to be besimcha? What does simcha mean? It's obviously a very, very important part of our lives. People in general definitely want simcha. That's clear. But not just that we want it, it's a big part of Avodas Hashem. We all know, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha, there are many mitzvahs in the Torah that are related to simcha. Simcha is clearly a very important thing in Yiddishkeit, and I think both in philosophy, meaning Lahavdil, secular philosophy, and has a hard time defining what happiness is. And I think the Torah, Lahavdil, has a tremendous amount to say about it. The Mefarshim, it's hard to find sometimes because it's the kind of topic which, you know, we all kind of know, oh, well, it means to be happy. Well, that's not fair when you're trying to understand it better. But so certain things which are taken for granted are sometimes a little bit harder to define because of that reason, because it's kind of assumed, oh yeah, happiness, it is what it is. So it's a little harder to define sometimes, but hopefully we'll be able to learn it together. And once we understand what simcha is, I want to try to go through various sugyas that deal with simcha, meaning it's a huge part of our Avodas Hashem. I was told, I'm not from Alaska, but I was told that in places that are very cold, like Alaska, there are many different terms for ice, and that's what I was told. I don't know if it's true. I was told that in Italy, they have a lot of different terms for different types of pasta because, you know, ice happens a lot in a lot of ice in Alaska, and a lot of pasta in Italy. So in Chazal and in the Torah, we know that there are many different forms of simcha. There are 12 different words for simcha. And there's a lot of many, many, many different types of simcha in our own lives. Meaning on one level, even on Tisha B'Av, the Mefarshim, right, there's some aspect of simcha. Obviously that's not the same simcha at all as is the simcha on Purim, right? Anyone who acts on Tisha B'Av the way they do on Purim is odd at best. So if there is any aspect of simcha, it needs to be understood what in the world that is. The simcha that we have on Sukkot is also different than it is on Purim. And the simcha on Chanukah is different than the simcha on Pesach. They're all different types of simcha, and it just behooves us as people, if you want to live Rosh Hashanah properly, and then Sukkot properly, and Chanukah properly, and Purim properly, and a daily life properly. Are you supposed to be dancing in the streets with a big white beanie that says Nach Nach Nachman Meuman? Is that the ideal for Simcha? I don't know. Meaning, we need to understand in order to be just upstanding good Jews. What does it mean that we should be? Rav Nachman Breslov, you know, is famously quoted all the time as saying, mitzvah gedol lios besimcha. There's a mitzvah to constantly be besimcha. What is that? There's a mitzvah to be besimcha on Sukkot. So are we supposed to shake a lulav all year? I mean, what exactly does that mean that there's this mitzvah sukkahs all the time? There's a mitzvah of simcha various times of the year differently. That's what we're trying to explore. It's a very, very large topic, and we will hopefully be able to delve into the best of our ability. Okay, so like we did when we learned Navi, I'm going to try to share the screen and show you Makoros, which I will start doing right now. So the first, let me enlarge it. Okay, so the first question, which I kind of referred to a second ago, was, there are many different aspects of simcha. So when we're asking today, it's an introduction, what is simcha? I mean, again, like we're hoping to get to various points of the year, various mitzvos of simcha. And I'm not just trying to talk about what is simcha all the time. I really want to talk about various aspects, mitzvos that come up. There are tens, possibly hundreds of sugyas that I have to do, very, very practical in terms of understanding how to act, how we should be feeling in terms of simcha. But in order to understand those sugyas, we first have to understand what is simcha? What does that mean? So today's shiur, I have to admit, is going to be a little bit, it might be a little bit on the esoteric side at some points, but we'll try to bring it down to earth and understand it better. So the first thing I mentioned a minute ago was is summed up really nicely by Shlomo Melech in Koheles, right? L'cho is a very famous pasuk. L'cho zman ve'eis, l'gomer tachas ha-shamayim, eis l'ledes ve'eis l'mus, eis l'tas ve'eis l'akor. It's a famous pasuk and a famous song. L'cho zman ve'eis, right? It's a very nice song. Tachas ha-shamayim, right? So we know that there's many different parts of the year. There's a time for this and time for that, a time for this, time for that. There's, so obviously the feeling that a person has when there's someone who's born, Isla Ledes, when someone's born, is obviously very different than the feeling someone has when Rachman Litzlan, someone is Nifter. There's obviously two very different times. And they're both part of life, and they're both, you know, there has to be done properly. They say, again, you know, Lo Aleinu, but they say that when... I think they say that when Rav Chanan Wasserman, when it was during World War II, he was in America, so he could have actually he could have gotten away from the Nazis. Yimach Shema. He was in America, and he went back. Rav Chanan Wasserman went back to his yeshiva to be murdered, unfortunately, with his yeshiva in Voronezh. It's hard to know exactly, did he know 100% exactly the situation? No one really knew what exactly was flying. You know, there was only so much information that leaked out. But he definitely knew it was extremely dangerous, and he might have known even more. And he went back with his yeshiva, as I was told, and he was murdered with his yeshiva. And he said, and if it wasn't him, I apologize, it was another Avin Goldo, but he was murdered with his yeshiva. And he said, I taught them... I lived with them. I taught them during their entire lives how to live al kiddush Hashem. It's now my duty as the Rosh Hashiva to teach them how to die al kiddush Hashem. Lo aleinu, obviously, but that is really summed up in this pasuk. There's a way to be born like a yid, and there's a way lo aleinu to for those who are in that situation to be. To die like a yid. There's a time to be happy on Sukkot, and there's a time to be happy on Pesach. So number one is I'm just trying to point out that every different time of the year, different times of the day, even very possibly, the way we act during Shmona Esrei is different than the way we act during Psuki de Zimra, right? The simcha of Psuki de Zimra is different than the feeling. There is a certain simcha there of Shmona Esrei. It's a different type of simcha. They're both davening, and they're within 20 minutes of each other, depending on how fast your minion is. And they're different. There are different feelings. Not just that they're not fluffy feelings. They're medina. We're supposed to feel different during Shmona Esrei and act different during Shmona Esrei, even though there's a simcha involved, than we do during Psuki de Zimra. So that was the first source. Again, it's a pasuk in Koheles, a famous pasuk. Then the same idea. The Tzanzer Rebbe has a very nice puts it very nicely. Hine b'chol yom v'chol sha'a yeshtam tzigufen achir ma'yidulim l'tzadikim. Meaning, even on this is a little more kabbalistic, but there are different every single moment. Just like every person in his life has a different tafkid. My responsibility in life is different than your responsibility in life, and your responsibility is different than his responsibility in life. We all have different personalities and different things we're trying to do in the world. So every single moment of our life is actually different. We are supposed to be accomplishing, hopefully, I'm hoping that the place we're supposed to be right now is where we are. Me giving the shiur and you being part of the shiur, I hope so. So here we are. And an hour ago, there was a different moment that we had to be in our lives. So hinei b'chol yom v'chol shah yeshlam tzirufim acherim hayiduim l'tzadikim. There is different tzirufim. He's talking about a much more kabbalistic level, but there are different on our level things that must be done, that metaphysical necessities in the world at different times. She'in shum yom shavu l'chaveru mi'az b'riyasa olam. There's not even one day that is similar to another day from the time that the world was created, right? So we can't say, well, simcha is simcha. Well, no, yesterday's simcha is different than today's simcha to a degree. Now, obviously, Ad kidei kach, I don't understand the difference between yesterday's and today's. Well, actually, yesterday, yes. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh. But at least today's and tomorrow's, I don't know the difference between today's and tomorrow's. But at least on times that are much more substantial, at least in our understanding, we definitely behooves us to understand what is the difference between the various types of simcha. Now, the next idea I want to point out is that someone might say, well, who really cares? Simcha is really not in our, I don't know, we're people and we have emotions and they kind of just happen. And there's nothing we can do about it. Either I'm happy or I'm not happy and it just is what it is. So that's just not true. That's simply not true. The Torah very, very strongly speaks against that. I'll give you one practical and I'll bring it down into the Mefarshim. On a very experiential level, it's just not true. I know that I was with my family on a trip once, many times, but I'm thinking about a certain time. I was with my family on a trip. And, and a lot of kids, Baruch Hashem, and it gets rowdy and kids get tired and they're cranky and, you know, and then their father gets cranky. And, you know, that's how trips work sometimes. So on the way back, it was a good hour and 20 minute drive back to where we were staying from the trip. And we knew it was going to be a gruesome, you know, not a fun ride that we wanted to, you know, everyone's tired and cranky and this is not going to be a fun ride. And I got into the car thinking, I'm beat, I'm tired, I'm not in a good mood. You know, that's, and thank God I had, you know, I once in a lifetime, I actually snap a hold of myself and I realized, you know what? I don't have to succumb to my own weakness. I can decide to be besimcha. I can decide to make this car ride enjoyable for everyone. And maybe we can use the next hour and 20 minutes to actually, as a family, continue to have a good time. We had a very nice time at the activity. You know what? Let's not use our next hour and a half to just be screaming at each other and biting our sister and screaming at kids. And let's not do that. Why don't we have a nice car ride on the back? So what I did, and I don't know, I got over myself. I don't know how. Again, usually I probably lose, but this one time I happened to beat my own inclination. And I said, you know what? Let's sing some songs. And I was a little bit funny with my little kids and we sang some songs and we would play a trivia, what's this name in Tanakh, various games that you play in a car. And the kids had a fantastic time and I had a fantastic time and my wife had a fantastic time. And the whole trip somehow, rather than, we came back with another person, the other car came into where we ended up. There was we were with another family. And they came out of the car an hour and 20 minutes later, exhausted, it was a terrible car ride. And we came into the house an hour and 20 minutes later, and we were happy, and it was a very enjoyable car ride. And we kind of were shocked that we were there already. Really, it's over? The hour and 20 minute trip is over already? So we decided that, you know what, we can be happy if we put in that effort. It's not always so easy. A car ride on the way back home is maybe a little easier than other times, but it is doable. And that's exactly what the Chazal say in this next source. Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah, it says, Harashayim hein b'shus liban. Rashayim, people who are not the type of people that we're trying to be, they are b'shus liban. They're in their domain of their heart, meaning their heart drives them. Avol hatzadikim, but the kind of people that we do try to be, liban b'shusam. Their heart is actually in their domain. Now that is unbelievably amazing. That I'll give you a story with Rabbi Rucham Levavitz. Rabbi Rucham, the Mashkiach Rav Shlomo Volba Tzatzal. Rav Shlomo Volba has a fantastic biography of his Rabbi, Rabbi Rucham Levavitz, the Mashkiach of the Mir. Rav Volba was a Talmud of the Mir Yeshiva. And he has a fantastic, very short, but one of the best pieces of literature out there, in my mind, called Ha'adam Bikar. It's a biography of his Rebbe called Ha'adam Bikar. And it's speaking about his Rebbe, Rabbi Rucham. And Rabbi Rucham, he says basically that he was beyond what we can, he said he was a human being. You know, he had all faculties of what it really means to actually be a human. That's how he put it. There was dignity and everything he did. He didn't fall. He didn't succumb to his own animalistic desires. He controlled himself. And he gave one simple but profound example of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yeruchim, controlling himself, being a human being. There's no better, in my mind, there's no better accolade than that person is a human. My Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, always says, I think from one of his Rebbeim, I think from either Rav Huttner or from Simcha Zissel Brody, would say, it says in davening in the morning, La'olam yehei adam yehei shemai b'seser v'agolui. Rebbe say that in the beginning of davening. So he says, you should, no. Just say, La'olam yehei adam, period. Just be a person. So anyway, so the biggest accolade is to be a human being. So the so Biruchim, that means that you're controlled by you control yourself and your body, your animalistic, our animalistic tendencies don't control us. So he explains, what did Rabbi Yeruchim do? It's so simple and so profound. He said that five times a day, he had a game with himself that he used to play, that five times a day, when he wanted to do one thing, he would choose to do something else instead. Simple things, nothing that was forbidden or a mitzvah, not in the realm of, it was, let's say there's two staircases to go on the right side or the left side. They're equally as good. It's not like a big deal which one you take. So, you know, for whatever reason, he was deciding to go to the right, to go to one staircase. He would choose, nope, I'm going to go to the left. Or let's say you can go two routes on two highways. I'm going to go that way instead of that way. Meaning just to be in control of himself. Unbelievable. I mean, we're not talking about mitzvahs and isurim. I'm talking about things that really have no difference. I'll eat the peas before the carrots or the carrots before the peas. Whichever one he was going to do, he'll do the opposite. Just to be in control of himself. That's what Rav Volba said about his Rebbe, Rav Yeruchim Lubavitch. It was an exercise, but the exercise was being in complete control of himself. It's simple, but incredibly profound. That is what the Chazal is saying right here, that Harashayim Hinder Shus Liban, that a Rasha is controlled by his own instincts. Whatever he wants to do, he does. Whatever his belly tells him to do, he does. That's a Rasha. But what a Tzaddik does is that they're lave, what they feel, that is actually in their control. So if somebody wants to be happy, again, sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder. Sometimes, you know, I'm not, of course, there's extenuating circumstances where it's incredibly difficult. I'm not taking that away from, but I'm saying, let's say on a general day, on a regular Tuesday, any given Tuesday, you know, we're kind of sluggish, whatever it is. No, we can choose to be besimcha. All you have to do is you think about certain things and you can make yourself, or you can make yourself upset. Start thinking about all the terrible things in the world. And you can get yourself very upset. If you really want to be angry, you can probably get yourself angry. If you think about all the people that have been bad to you over the course of the year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We are in control of our own emotions. Okay, so number one I pointed out, I'm reviewing for one second. Number one is that when we're discussing this topic at large, what is simcha, there's going to be a definition I'll give today, but we have to remember that no one size fits all, meaning that there are different parts of the year, different times of the day even, require a different type of simcha from us. So today we're going to discuss what simcha is, but a general type, we'll need to tweak it for every moment of our lives. Number two is that don't think that this whole thing's for naught, it's just a bunch of like philosophy. That's not true. It is very much nogea. We can tell ourselves what we want to be. And that's also why the Torah can say, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. Right? Otherwise, how could the Torah tell us? How could the Torah tell us, oh, you must serve Hashem b'simcha? It's not up to me. I'm not happy. What do you want from me? No, it is up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to you if you want to be an animal. But if you want to be a human being, then yes, tzaddikim are liban b'shusan. It is in your capability. Again, barring Rachman Litzlan's circumstances that are really kind of make someone an ones in a way. There are circumstances, unfortunately, that really... It's like Herculean almost to be besimcha at certain times. And I'm not taking that away from, but I'm just saying the general, any given Tuesday, without various, unfortunate situations, and even those are possible, but those are for the real greats, but it is doable. Okay. Now let's get into what is simcha. Says there's a person I assume I've quoted him for you before, but his name was Rav Moshe Shapira. Rav Moshe Shapira was just Nifter a few years ago. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. He was a great Baal Agadata. He's one of my proofs of today that in our time, we have people. We shouldn't just think that, oh yeah, in the days of yonder, in the days years back, there used to be great Jews. But today, who's great anymore? We don't have real rabbis. Chas v'shalom, it's not true. And he's one of the proofs to that. He's one of the proofs that even today we have unbelievable Talmid Chachamim. He died only a few years ago, and his Torah is everywhere. He has thousands of Talmidim. His Torah is extremely deep. It's just another proof. You know, we see, as I always quote Rav Avadya Yosef, who knew everything. We have today, Baruch Hashem, let him live well for many years, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who knows everything. And again, in a different realm, in Agadata, Moshe Shapira was unbelievable. We shouldn't think that today we don't have Talmid Chachamim. Says Moshe Shapira, "Our gasha shel simcha, the emotion of simcha, hu hayetzia mitoch hagvulim hatsarim shel hateva. It's when you go, when you leave hayetzia, when you leave the gvulim hatsarim, the narrow boundaries shel teva of nature, v'achibur el hamatzius shehu bli gvul." And you're expanding, you are chibur, you are now mechubar, you are attached to a mitzius, to a reality that is without boundary and without end. Now, what does that mean? And he proves it in the rest of this quote. But let me explain what he's talking about. A hargasha, a feeling of leaving boundaries. Leaving you feel mitzumtzam, you feel narrow and just boxed in. And that what the simcha is that when you feel free of that and you are now mechubar, you are attached to a world much bigger than that. Now, I'll Rav Lopiansky in his fantastic Rav Lopiansky, I quoted him before, I'm sure also. He is Rosh Hashiva in Silver Spring, Maryland, a fantastic Talmid Chacham. You should get his books. He has a number of English books and Hebrew books. A number of English books are fantastic, specifically. I very, very strongly recommend. So he says like this, joy signifies the expansion of the human being, the expansion of the human being himself and is perforce as permanent as the person himself. Thus, the primary events of simcha are a wedding and a birth. Both these events mark the expansion of an individual from a single person to a family. The event itself doesn't give a fleeting moment of pleasure. It's not just cheap pleasure. No one, a wedding or a birth of a child is not a cheap, you know, it's not like eating a pizza. Rather, it infuses true joy in a person because he has made a permanent step of progress and has become a greater and richer individual because of it. Were man to appreciate the Torah for what it is, he would be an embodiment of simcha. Each idea in the Torah lends new insight into the truth of existence. Each prayer opens a new wellspring of heart and emotion. The person of today is by far richer than the person of yesterday, and the man of tomorrow will tower over the man of today. So again, most people would probably not have defined simcha in this fashion. And that's why I'm here, to try to expand our understandings. But simcha, if you think about it, I think simcha is felt whenever we feel ourselves expanding. Meaning, I'll give you an example, a very practical example that comes up all the time. For some reason, and I'll tell you why in a moment, people like having a large office. Meaning, a CEO, let's say he has a boardroom. So he has his board meetings anyway in his boardroom. Yet his office will be quite large. He doesn't use most of his office. When he has meetings, he has it in another room. So his office is more or less for him. Every now and then, he'll have one, maybe two people come in and discuss something in the office. The office could be half or a third of the size. Why does a CEO have such a big office? Now, it could just be gaiva, but I'll tell you why. Why does he need such a big... It's because people like to feel expand. They like to feel bigger. They like to expand. Why is it that we like to see an ocean view? What's so great about an ocean? There are a lot of other pretty things. I'm sure we've seen many pretty things. What is so beautiful about looking at an ocean? It's because it is vast. We love, why do we like seeing going on the top of the entire Empire State Building and just seeing for however long we're seeing, miles or whatever we can see from up there? Because we like to feel big, that we're bigger than our little selves. Nobody wants to be in a little cubicle or in a little box. That is, if you're in a cubicle or in a little box for too long, you can't handle such a thing. That's the opposite of simcha. We want to expand. And our real simcha, whenever you feel yourself expanding, whether it's literally, like Lepianska was pointing out, with a family expanding, or whether it is more internal, that you feel yourself opening up. There's an idea that was just created in your mind. You're like, wow, that's unbelievable. And there's a certain... A sense of joy right at that moment. A chidush. Why is there a chidush? Why is a novel idea so invigorating? Because that's it. We want to expand. Why is it that when during davening, if there's ever a tefillah that really gets to you, somehow you feel, wow, there's something that I'm tapping into. That feeling of expansion, that is the feeling of simcha. Now, So what I want to explain now, though, is why is that simcha? Why does that bring? Why does the feeling of expansion create this feeling of joy? Why do we enjoy that feeling? I don't know. It's true. I think you'll agree that it's true. The question is why? Why is that so? So Revolba says like this: Makora amiti. This is Rav Shlomo Volba. He's one of the great mashkichim. Was nefter also a few years ago. Makora amiti shel simcha. The source of simcha, she'adam yizke lifnim, she'bifnim, she'ruch niyusa. A person who gets to the depth of the inner, the depth of his ruchnius, of his spiritual being. V'yi akarov ma'od l'shorshu be'alokos. Now this needs explanation. He says that the depth of a person, he's assuming the depth of a person is his neshama, is the godliness within him. And when a person touches on that, when you touch on that point, on your neshama, that's when you feel besimcha. I want to show you where he's coming from. The Malbim in Sefer HaKarmel, the Malbim is a fantastic sefer. He says like this, Kodem chei adam harishon, this past week's parsha. Before Adam Rishon sinned, he was a koach hasecha. He was a koach hasecha. He was in a shama. Shum kochos achomer ad shelohi mechasim merumeim. Right? He didn't have any understanding of what it meant to have to cover something up. Their body was like our clothing. The body was clothing. And if they wanted to, they could take off their body. That is unbelievable. What used to be, which means what a human being really is that he is a neshama. Before we were chote, you could take off your guf. Just like you can change from your clothing. If you're wearing, I'm wearing today a blue tie, I can change tomorrow to wear a red tie. I'm wearing this shirt, I can change to a different shirt. If I'm taking a shower, I can wear no shirt. They could take off their guf because that's just clothing. That's not the person. The person is his neshama. There's a sefer called Beros Yitzchak that says the following. Ha'ani, the same idea. The ani, who is the I? Ha'ani shall call Adam hu nishmaso. It's his neshama. Gam ha'rasha, I always point this out. even if someone who's a Rasha, Chagufo Moshe ben Ishmaso, his guf, his animalistic instincts actually outweigh his neshama. In a guf betahavasa nechshav metzmuso, they're still not him. He is not his guf. He is his neshama. It's just sully, and it's disgusting, and he covers it, and he smothers it. But he is not his guf. He's still his neshama. Raya davar, I'll bring a proof. Divri chazal harishayim b'shus libam. He quotes the chazal we quoted before. The rishayim are in the hands of their hearts. Avol tzedikim libam b'shusim. But the tzedikim, their hearts are in their domain. Harisha ein shoni bein tzadik. The difference between a tzaddik and a rasha isn't who is the I, it's the same I. The neshama is the I. What's the difference between them? Ella im hu sholet o nishlat. The difference between a rasha and a tzaddik is not who is the I is the same. Both a tzaddik and a rasha, the I is the neshama. There's something much deeper in you, and we all feel this. If someone, chas v'shalom, would lose, chas v'shalom, their pinky, would they say that I'm missing part of myself? No. It's not who you are. That's not who you are. Just like if someone would say, if someone lost their suit, they wouldn't say, I lost a part of myself. They don't feel that way. That's an extra. That's something that covers them. They are deep down. Even a Russia feels that way. A Russia will, even he will understand that much deeper, the I, who am I? I am something which is actually undefinable. It's a neshama within me. So now to show you why, where am I going with this? The next source. Says Rav Volpe, this is one of the deepest things I've seen, and I actually happened to Baruch Hashem, with Kadosh Baruch Hu's help, find it last night. Says Rav Volpe, Yediyas ha'adam rumus nafsho, hihi asimcha ve'elokim. To understand one's own neshama, that's actually what brings someone to tremendous lofty, to lofty state of mind. Kirvas habore, someone wants to be close to Hashem, eina malasha adam masig michutzalo. If someone wants to be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he don't have to look beyond himself. You need to look within yourself. I'll explain what that means. We know that a neshama of a person, a Kadosh Baruch from last week's parasha, in Parashas Bereishis, he was vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu blew into a human being, a neshama. So what a neshama is, this I, the deepest force within a human being, the deepest part, what you feel, everyone feels experientially. If you think about it for a moment, what you feel experientially, the deepest part of the I, who I really am, is something which is actually undefinable. It's something which is godly. That's the neshama. It's the vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu blew into me something. So the deepest part of me is godliness. That sounds like kfirah. And I'm not a kofer, I promise you. Meaning that the deepest part of a human being is godly. Now, he's not God, chas v'shalom, because he has a guf, a person has a guf, and he has all of the other aspects of what it means to be human as opposed to God. But the deepest part of a human being is godly, is the nishmas chayim, is the neshama. So if a person lives according to his guf, if what he's following his whole life is his body, then his real self is smothered. How could he possibly be happy? Meaning, if the real I can never breathe, he's breathing for air, he's gasping for air, and he can never breathe because no one's listening to him, because all I'm doing is following my body and not who I really am deep down, I can't possibly be happy because the real I can't breathe. But the more that I'm in touch with my own neshama, the more I'm in touch with my inner self, who I really am, my ruchnius, the spiritual side within me, the real I, the more that a person is in touch with that, the more that he's actually besimcha. That's what Revolba is adding here. Revolba is saying an incredible, incredible idea that in order to be besimcha, you have to just be, let yourself free. Everyone, think about it, in America, right? The land of the free. So everyone knows this. Everyone's trying to be free. Freedom for this, freedom for that, freedom for this, freedom for that. Everyone has that idea. The problem is that they don't know what freedom is, because they don't know who themselves are, because they have never digged deep enough. Everyone understands that freedom brings simcha in essence. But what people are looking for is not really freedom. What real freedom is allowing out the real inner self, the real neshama. Which now explains when we do things that expand ourselves, when we feel an expansion of self. When we feel an expansion of self on one level, when we have a view from an oceanfront view, a big office, we go to the top of Statue of Liberty, that's one level. Another level, when there's a wedding, when there is a birth, an expansion, you feel besimcha because you're actually your real self. You want to be more free. That's one degree of simcha. And even a deeper degree of simcha, says Revolba, and I'll read it one last time, is that real kirvas Hashem. We say, oh, I want to be close to God. What does that mean? This is the most important line I can ever imagine. He says that line, kirvas abore, the being close to Hashem, what does that mean? It's not something we say be close to Hashem, something beyond you. It's not beyond you. It's within you. The more that you're close to the inner self is godly. That is kirva elukos. That is being close to Hashem, and therefore that is simcha. Unbelievable. Meaning allowing myself to expand and to be in touch with who I really am, what I really am is a spiritual being. The more that I'm in touch with my spiritual being, the more that I'm the simcha. It's unbelievable. So we're going to see, Mirtz Hashem, over the course of this year, different aspects of that. That the idea of expansion, and there are different types of expansion. The way that we feel that expansion on Yom Kippur is very different than we feel on Purim. The way we feel that expansion in a time, Rachmana Litzlan, of Tisha B'Av, there's still a certain feeling of expansion even on Tisha B'Av. But it's very different. It's very different than the 15th of Av, Tu B'Av. These are all very different days, and we feel different forms of tapping in to my inner I, the inner self. But that, when I tap in, that there's no greater simcha than that. I know, I'll finish up with this. Just this morning, I was 20 minutes early to Shacharis. And rather than doing something else, I said, you know what? I'm going to start Shacharis early. I put on my tefillin like a mensch. And I sat there and I started davening Shacharis like a mensch. And I had a fantastic Shacharis. Because rather than running through my Shacharis, I was actually able to be with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There was no better simcha. Because I was able to actually just be there, and I allowed myself to breathe, be in touch with who I really am, and allow myself to actually pour out and to expand who I really am inside. What I wanted to expand with that tefillah, it was an unbelievable shacharis. It's taka any given Tuesday. It's a Tuesday today. And it's just random day. And if you just give yourself the mindset of expanding, there was no greater simcha. All right, and Mr. Shem, hopefully that was understandable. It's a little bit esoteric, I have to admit. I hope it was understandable. I'm not convinced from the looks on the faces, but hopefully it was. But hopefully as we go with the next ideas, we'll bring it down to earth a little more and be able to understand the ideas going forward.
Shkar, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All the best.